is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris, and I want to take you back some 30 years to a Monday night football game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings.
Goal line defense for the Vikings. The handoff door set up the middle. Here he goes. Cuts to his right. Going all the way.
That was Tony Dorsett setting the record for a 99-yard run from scrimmage for a touchdown. Why am I playing that for you? Well, because this week we got the sad news that Tony Dorsett, who is now 59 years old, is suffering from chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That is a degenerative condition that many scientists say is caused by head trauma and linked to depression and dementia and suicidal thoughts, all of which Tony Dorsett says he has. This would seem to go right along with the discussion we've been having for months now about concussions in the NFL. My next guest literally wrote the book on the subject. Mark Fainaro-Wada and his brother Steven wrote the book League of Denial, which caused quite a few ripples in the football world when it was published a few weeks ago, along with the Frontline special they did for PBS on the subject. I've been looking forward to having Mark on the show. Mark, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks, Paul. How are you doing?
Good. Does Tony Dorsett being a living example of CTE in an NFL veteran change the story for the NFL at all?
You know, I mean, I think this issue of diagnosing CTE in living players is a definite, it changes the dynamic in potentially huge ways. I think the science is still evolving on this, and there's no doubt that there are people questioning whether they've fully hit the mark yet on whether this test is spot on 100%. But I think there's no doubt that, you know, if you can now diagnose CTE in somebody who's alive, which previously you could only diagnose it in autopsies in dead players, that raises all sorts of ethical implications, right? For current players, you know, do they want to be tested? Does the collective bargaining agreement come into play? And does the union have issues with players being tested? And more pointedly, at the lower levels, though, if you now can test high school kids and college kids, you know, is that going to happen? What's the impact on the game? You know, how cost prohibitive is it? From what we understand, that test right now is about a $5,000 test. So, you know, there's all sorts of issues that are raised by virtue of this, but there's no question it changes the dynamic in large ways.
The NFL continues to deny the connection, right? And in that way, they seem to me very much like big tobacco and cancer.
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, as we track the trajectory of this in the book, there's a point in 2009 where the league seems to actually acknowledge it for the first time. There's a conversation in which Greg Aiello, the chief public relations person for the league, is talking to the New York Times on the phone and almost offhandedly says, well, of course we know that concussions can lead to long-term brain damage. He then, you know, is sort of annoyed with the follow-up questions. But since then, the league has not publicly acknowledged this in any way. When Commissioner Goodell is currently asked about it, he says, we're going to let the medical people decide that link. And, you know, as our book lays out, you've got, you know, perhaps as many as a dozen independent neuroscientists who say that link has been made. It's no longer about the question of whether there is a link, but rather, what's the prevalence? How do we deal with it moving forward? And to a lot of people, I think that does reflect the league still being in denial.
Not only are they in denial, but they've been fighting back against the scientists that Goodell says they want to trust. I wonder if you would just tell my audience a little bit about a forensic pathologist by the name of Bennett Omalu.
Sure. Dr. Omalu is sort of a central figure in our book. He's one of these guys. In many ways, one of the things we loved about doing the reporting in the book is, you know, this could have been a lot of dry science, but in fact, it's really a story of characters and people who are, you know, seeking to elicit change. And Omalu is a guy, he's a Nigerian-born doctor, born in the middle of the Nigerian Civil War, and comes to the States, ends up landing in Pittsburgh. He doesn't know a thing about football. He doesn't even know what a Super Bowl is. And he ends up working for the Allegheny County Coroner's Office in Pittsburgh in 2002 as a junior pathologist, neuropathologist, when Mike Webster, the legendary Pittsburgh Steelers center, who has died at the age of 50 after a long bout of falling into just, you know, almost going mad, really going mad, lands on the autopsy table. And Amalu makes this decision on September 28, 2002. You know, that date's not in the record books anywhere, but it really changes the course of the NFL. Amalu decides to study Webster's brain, and it's that decision and the subsequent finding of brain damage in Mike Webster that Amalu believes is tied to football that really changes the course of things. And Amalu thinks he's going to be embraced by the NFL when he presents these findings, that they're going to look at it as a way to try and make the game safer, to acknowledge these issues and problems. And, in fact, the opposite happens. He's attacked in huge ways. His research paper, which is produced not just by him but by some of the top neuroscientists in the country, is attacked by NFL doctors who seek its retraction, which is really unheard of. I mean, you only do that in an extreme case of something like fraud or plagiarism. So Amalu ends up in this place in which he's really attacked as opposed to embraced.
And meanwhile, other scientists who are not on the NFL payroll have confirmed his work. And you also talk in the book about Dr. Ann McKee, who's a neuropathologist at Boston University, who has actually looked at more brains of NFL players than anybody else. She has found essentially the same thing and maybe even more, and the NFL denies what she's talking about.
Right. McKee, she picks up in our story where Amalu leaves off. Amalu is essentially marginalized in the story for a number of reasons. And then Dr. McKee steps in. And the key is sort of very different than Amalu. She is a hardcore football fan, like actually a lot of the doctors and researchers who are trying to raise the warning call to the league. McKee is a massive Green Bay Packers fan. She grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin. She wears an Aaron Rodgers jersey on game days. She has a cheese head on her desk. I mean, this is a huge, huge NFL fan. But if she begins to study the brains of former NFL players, she finds, as Dr. Amalu did, this disease known as CTE, that she believes can't be tied to anything else. The common denominator is repetitive trauma to the head. And there's a point in the book where McKee goes to NFL headquarters to present her findings. And again, like Amalu, instead of being embraced, in this case, the scene is described as essential mockery of McKee, to the point where she eventually throws up her hands and says, look, you guys are delusional. And again, she, I think, finds a level of frustration where she thought she might be embraced.
Do you think the NFL has said to itself, we can never admit this, or it's the end of the NFL?
You know, I think we've tried really hard not to you know, inflict our thoughts on where these guys are. You know, we sought to try to talk to many NFL officials about this, and we're shut out repeatedly. So I can't pretend to get inside their heads. I think there's no question that, obviously, there's a vested interest in this science. There's a vested interest in the message. You know, and that's reflected. One of the other elements of the book that we touch on that I think is really revealing is you look at the way the NFL markets itself. For years, the marketing of the game was all around the violence. You would look at these NFL films, and the beauty of those NFL films was the sort of juxtaposition between the beauty of football and the absolute sheer violence of it. And they would play that up repeatedly in these films. Now, when the NFL markets itself, it's all about safety. They're marketing to mommy bloggers, bringing them to NFL headquarters to try and convince them that the game can be safe, that they're changing the game at all levels. And that, I think, as much as anything, reflects the position of the league and the mentality of how serious this is to them.
Yeah, but when I watch the league's own NFL network, they're still showing the hits. They still want to show those, and I have not seen one running back penalized for putting his head down trying to get a couple of yards and going helmet to helmet with somebody else.
Well, I think when you know, as you see people comment on that rule change you're talking about, I mean, you know, you've seen so many people say it's just unenforceable and it flies in the face of the way the sport is. And I think that's the issue the sport is facing right now. The league is facing, you know, the sport is what it is. It's a violent, brutal sport. And frankly, that's what a lot of people, including me, love about it. You know, I don't think necessarily, you know, I'm not exactly an advocate. Steve has said this too, of the league changing. It is what it is. You know, you can legislate out helmet-to-helmet hits and try to do that, but the essence of the sport is guys pounding against each other, big, strong, fast guys, and that's not really going to change, and I think now players are informed about the impact of that, and if anything, that's what our hope for the book was a level of information. I think the question now is actually much more largely at the high school and the Pop Warner level, and whether you can and would change the game at that level. and to what extent, you know, younger players are exposed to these kind of issues later in life.
Well, we'll have to leave those issues for some other time. I will say that your book has changed the way I watch the league, and I think probably a lot of minds as well. Unfortunately, not in Roger Goodell's office. Mark Fenaru Wada. The book is called League of Denial. It's great. Thanks so much for joining me here today, Mark.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. Oh, man.